I got a couple of things. Walbrook, the lady who teaches on Sunday morning out here, and her daughter Sue were in a car accident, and they were okay. Now, what does that mean? We really haven't worked out with the police everything that's going on, but this man they were driving, this man and hit them, and they were okay with that, but he backed up and hit them again. And Valerie, the mother, got out of the car. She's kind of trapped in the car, and he does it again, and then takes off. And so let's be in prayer for Valerie and Sue in regard to that. Let's see. Got another request. Sue Bailey's husband, John, is been given a tape from here by their daughter Jean, who comes on Sunday and worships with us and listens to our tapes also. But she gave her father some of our tapes, so please be in prayer in regard to the Holy Spirit and working in regard to John at this time, especially in getting the tape and upon listening to the tape. So let's be in prayer for John and Sue at this time, and just the working of the Spirit in John's life. Had a call from a friend today. Some of you know Jeff Turner, a friend of mine, Kansas City. He got a call. I was hoping you got here early so I could talk with you, Paul. But he called, and things have just worked out in his life, and where he's got to make the decision what he wants to do with his life. And we were kidding on the phone, what he wants to do when he grows up. And he's thinking about maybe moving here to worship with us. So he just called and asked for prayer, and I thought that was very, very super. Very wonderful of Jeff. And he'll be here with us in sometime next week. But be in prayer for Jeff Turner in regard to what the Spirit would have him to do. Be in prayer for Tish's father, who went to the hospital. They brought him home. I worded as nicely as I can, and in the way it was laid to me, that probably Raymond, that's Tish's father, is just dying. It's just process of death. And that is a hard and difficult thing. So please be in prayer for Thelma, Raymond's wife, and family here in California. Be in prayer for the family here, because we have the daughter, Tish, and we have the grandchildren, and Leslie, and we have grandchildren, and Leah and Larry. So let's be in prayer for the entire family. One's father goes home. That's a sort of part of our attachment to the past, and so please be in prayer for them at this time, in that regard. I'm sorry I forgot your father's first name. Lewis passed away this last weekend. We're going to do a service tomorrow, and so we'll be in prayer for Lewis's family and sons with us, and been here with us. Where do you live? I'm sorry. Well, I mean you. Start Michigan. Well, you really do need our prayers to be up there. I mean, not only Detroit, Michigan, but Detroit Lions and everything. So, be in prayer in regard to your family at this this time. Be in prayer for Larry Thompson. Closed down his business and just kind of. And it kind of like Jeff, just okay, where's the Lord going to direct now? And what's the Lord going to do? The Lord's taken Larry on a long journey, and so let's be in prayer in that respect. So those are some of the things that I'm aware of. You have some your prayer requests. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That mercury is a bad thing in the mouth, and they've been doing it for so long, it's just hard to people understand that. Thank you for sharing that. We'll be in prayer. You've got a lot of testing in your physical body and different things. Poor Stephanie. But we'll definitely be in prayer. My goodness, absolutely. Okay, any others? Yes.
I spoke with Phil last week, and he said that Andrea,
yeah, okay. Yes. Philip and Andrea. Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Read a letter to you Sunday. Wonderful letter from a man that got our tapes and boasting of weakness, and they've been on other Bible tapes, not from here, but other Bible tapes, and since 72, and just the difference that this made, the series made it to him. Another friend, I suppose an old friend, but friend from days gone by, got some of our tapes and just made all the difference in her life, and she found them at a most opportune time as far as the attention getting. It's like we studied Sunday. If you don't see Gershom, if you don't see that your need, then you won't see Eliezer or the help of God. If you don't see that you need, you won't put on the armor of Christ. And so often a lot of believers will reject or just kind of take truth with a grain of salt because they don't see their need. Everything's going fine for them in corporate America, so they don't really see the need. And her name is Katie Powell, and I'd like you to be in prayer for Katie. I've known her for a long time, probably back in the 60s or 70s anyway, but lost contact, and then she got some of our tapes, and through various means, I don't know how, and just called to just express just how wonderful they've been and the difference they've made, and so please be in prayer for her. She's in Temple, so please be in prayer for Katie. Thank you. Okay, anything else? Okay. Well, with these things in mind, we're also going to need some teachers on Sunday morning. And so bear that in mind in your prayers and as far as our need there. And let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer. Please remember the prayer request, John Bayless. Just remember Gene Poulter. He goes back to Hot Springs later on and takes care of things there. And remember West Tuttle, always in need of our prayers, and John Harvey and all of us. Remember to be in prayer for with each other. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to approach the throne of grace in prayer, a prayer for one another. And now, Father, we pray as we approach the Scriptures on an essential matter of truth, one Heavenly Father that is rejected by so many and yet becomes so important in our lives. We pray that your Spirit will illuminate, because Christ, our Savior, made it clear that we will not see all that he is unless you yourself reveal it to us through your Spirit. So, Father, we present ourselves to your Spirit that we might see the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, does everybody have a handout? What I decided to do on these handouts is I was working on this, and I've been working on it. And, you know, the deity of Jesus Christ is something that I have believed since a very small child and thought that I had a pretty good grip on it. And but I'll tell you, after getting started in this study and then going back over things from the Baptist church I was in and the Bible church I was in and Dallas Seminary and a lot of things, boy, I've done a very poor job with you concerning this great important issue. And it's my favorite subject, is the study and developing a personal and intimate relationship with Christ. I told you I had mine with him when I was but an adolescent. And so I was working on it, and it's going to take some time, much longer than I thought when I took this brief little step in First John. But I don't know of anything more important than for you to know Jesus Christ, outside of knowing how to be filled with the Spirit so that he can reveal these things to you. And knowing Jesus Christ, knowing things about him. And so I was working just on the very first part of knowing Christ in regard to deity, and that is the Son of God, and decided what I would do is put together some things in a handout for you. Now, let me explain what you've got in your hand. These are by no means any type of things ready for any kind of publication or distribution. This is for you. These are practically right off my notes. I went back through and took out some of my abbreviations and made it a little bit presentable for you. But by and large, you're looking at the way that I put into the computer a lot of my what I teach from up here. Now, if you'll turn, we got the first page, and I'll show you that. I just want to walk through you what you've got. Now, in the second page, your second page there, the deity of Jesus Christ, and we'll go through this again very quickly, but some introductory things. But what we're going to start with is at the bottom of the second page, you have what will be a Roman numeral 1, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, we're dealing with the deity of Christ, and this is our first point. That's what that is. So if you look at page 3, you'll see a 1 in brackets with the font being larger than anywhere else right after that 5. Well, that's so that we can walk through this. And that 1 is Jesus Christ is called the Son of God by God the Father himself. And if you turn the page, you'll see big Roman numeral 2 in brackets. Numeral 2 in brackets, supernatural beings. So that's what those are about. And so let's go back to the first page. And what we're looking at for a little while is developing an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And on this first page, I just went back some of the things that we covered last week. But what think you of Jesus Christ? Christ asked the disciples that. What you think of Jesus Christ determines, and I'm handing these out so we quickly go through this and you won't have to take a lot of notes. You can take notes on here, but a lot of notes I just made so that you'll have it with you. What you think of Jesus Christ determines what you think of yourself. Who Jesus Christ is essential to our intimacy with him, because we are in Christ. What you think of Jesus Christ determines what you think of others. And this is going to be very important, because if you'll note the bold print or the larger font, the 18 font here, why is it important that Jesus Christ is God? What difference does the deity of Christ make in your life, or what difference would it make in your life if Jesus Christ were not God? What difference would that make to you? A lot of Christians say, oh, I believe Jesus Christ is God. And they're ready to really fight for that. But so what? Well, I don't know. People, it's got to make a difference in our daily life. And we've already noted a few of them last week, like worshiping him. We can now worship him because he's God. We don't worship man, but because he's God, we can worship Jesus Christ now. And many more that we're going to be looking at is to the difference it should make in your life. And another one is, what you think of Jesus Christ, people, has all the difference in the world to what you think of one another. In our study on Wednesday night, you're dealing with another believer. I don't care if the believer has hurt you, sinned against you, or everything is wonderful between you and that believer. What we think of another believer is going to stem from what we think of Jesus Christ. It's a very important point to understand. So often what believers do when they're dealing with one another is that they're looking at that believer rather than looking at Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever experienced it. I have. But ever experienced this, because you have a very close relationship with someone and they either send, without them even being there, or bring into your periphery someone that is very close to them. Our natural response is, hey, you're welcome. I've had people in my home over the years I didn't even know, but because they were so close to to some other people that I truly loved. Just open. I mean, they could have robbed everything while I was asleep. I didn't know them. Didn't know them at all. But I valued them and acted toward them because of whom they knew. Well, people, this is the way we are with Jesus Christ. Because you, another believer, belong to Him, is why we're studying the one another's on Wednesday night. But what happens so often with believers is we forget our eyes off of Christ in a crisis with individuals and get our eyes on the individual. And when you do that, you're going to judge, separate, malign, do a lot of things. But if we keep our eyes focused, as we are to, on the person of Christ. So what you think of Christ, as you see in the top here, what you think of Jesus Christ determines what you think of others. Do you think of Jesus Christ as representing? The reason I emphasize failures there is because when everything's going wonderful, no problem. There are a multitude of ways in which we must know Jesus Christ. None can be proven, and that's very important. They are known by faith. They are revealed. We saw this last week. Revealed by God the Father through the power of the Spirit. You can't prove Jesus Christ is God. Don't even try. Don't even try. We're going to look at an unbelievable number of passages, and you're going to say, with all these passages, why does someone not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? How could you not believe Jesus is the Son of God? Look at all these passages. It all depends on how you understand the phrase Son of God. If I manipulate that phrase, then I don't care how many times I see it, I read in my mind what I understand it to be. He is not actually God, but he's just like God, has a substance of God, but not God. So every time I see that, that's no given proof. You have to start out with thinking of Christ. This is why the Bible can be seen so differently by so many different people. It cannot be proven. It is known by faith. And we're starting with the deity of Christ. And again, the reason I want to start with the deity of Christ is because he does not begin at his incarnation. He has always existed. If I were talking to unbelievers or maybe brand new believers, I probably would start with knowing him as Savior. But with us, I want to start with knowing him as God. And then in the bold print, why is it important that Jesus Christ is God? I want to handle that. I don't want to just study that he's God. I hope every one of you believe that, know that. But why is it important that Jesus Christ is God? And that one's going to deal, that first one is going to deal primarily with God and in the spiritual warfare. That one is primarily going to deal with God and the spiritual warfare. Why is it important that Christ is God? And secondly, what difference does the deity of Jesus Christ make in your life? This is going to become very personal to us. What difference would it make if Jesus Christ were not God? So those are the two things that we're going to go. And then I just put down there what we saw last week, that our Savior Jesus Christ has a much different relationship with Christians than most of all the other founders of religions. And I've listed some there, because their relationship with those religious people are their teachings. But our relationship with Jesus Christ is with a person. So we're going to start then with the deity of Jesus Christ. On page 2. And very quickly, rejected by so many people, so many religions, and I just listed Christian Science, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And then I put in what we just saw. We start with this because unlike each of us, his existence does not begin with his physical birth. Jesus Christ has pre-existed forever. And that's where I want to start in our understanding. The statement of faith, in other words, our statement of faith in regard to the deity of Christ, we believe that Jesus Christ is God. He is not like God. He is God. That may not sound too much different to you, but let me just tell you without going through it and boring you with it. There's a big theology that Jesus Christ is like God, but not God. And that word like gets into great theology and a lot of arguments and everything. So just accept the fact that there are people saying that he's like God, but not God. And you might want to say, well, what's the difference? Well, they will develop the difference. So I want to just make it clear where that comes from. We do not believe that he is like God. We believe that he is God, undiminished deity. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He has eternally existed. Then I have a few statements on the scriptural declaration of the deity of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is known by faith. Jesus Christ is known by faith. God reveals the deity of Jesus Christ to those who will believe that it, and that it is by faith that we know that Jesus Christ is God. By the way, just again, I'm not apologizing. I just want you to know I'm not responsible for misspelled words. That's the computer's job. Sometimes the sentences aren't going to flow. I did not take the time to go through here and make this a public handout. This is between you and me. This is for you. So that you'll have this, and I can go through this kind of quickly tonight. Under point two, there are many passages that we shall look at, but rest assured that if one does not desire to acknowledge the deity of Jesus Christ, these verses will not prove them to them. These verses will not prove to anyone who does not want to believe that Jesus Christ is God. All the verses in the Bible are not going to prove that he is God. Okay, major point one, and we have a lot, but we're going to start with this one, in dealing with just the deity of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And five quick introductory points. One, when you put the two words together, the Son of God, you are speaking and describing the most unique person in all existence. The noun weos, that should be H-U-I-O-S for y'all's purpose. And theos, that means God, Son of God. Being the Son of God means that Jesus Christ is God. He's not like God. He does not have the substance like God, but that he has the exact existence of God. He is God. Two, Jesus Christ is God. This means that Jesus Christ is co-equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Three, and all of this, I'm going to show you the difference it makes. This is the doctrine. And as we go through, we're going to build, what difference does it make to your personal life, your marriage, your understanding of the Bible, your life, how you live your life, how you handle your money, your time, people? What do you think of Jesus Christ, people? It's all the difference in your life. And we're going to see this, not just in preaching, but I'm going to show you as we go through. Point three, this doctrine is one of the issues and throughout all church history. CH is church history. Should have written that out for you, but that's church history. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it started in the first century, the debate, and it has long been debated on whether or not Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There are those who just do not want to see it, and they're not going to see it. And I can't prove it, neither can you. Then we have point four on the next page. We are going to study the deity of Jesus Christ. But so many of the passages, when it says so many of these, will often overlap. Passages and points will overlap, especially when we're considering the importance of who Jesus Christ is to you, importance of the deity of Christ. And they'll overlap, so just be ready for that, is what we're looking at there. All right. Roman numeral 1, in the, or point 1 in the bracket. Okay. Actually, it shouldn't be a 5, I see what I was doing there. In my notes, I was getting ready to study the biblical references. And what I want to show you is, to set your mind working with me, what I decided to do is we're going to look at it in five directions. First of all, I'm going to take it from deity. And therefore, we're going to look with God the Father, how the deity of Jesus Christ comes from God the Father. Then what I want to do, rather than going to Jesus Christ, people, it's just amazing. I've had a wonderful time in the last 2 or 3 weeks putting all these things together. I had them all listed out, so what I just started doing was trying to classify, put some things together, and hope that it rolls with you like it did with me. Then what I've decided to do, we'll look at supernatural creatures. We're going to look at some supernatural creatures, and of course by that we mean angels. And we're going to look under elect angels. And we're going to look under fallen angels. Then three, we're going to come to Jesus Christ himself. And then four, we're going to come to believers. And then five, we're going to take a look at unbelievers and the deity of Jesus Christ in the Bible. So if you'll, as you look through this will so help you see how we're reading. So we're going to look at the scriptural references in dealing with Jesus Christ, the deity of Jesus Christ, first of all by God the Father, then by supernatural creatures, and then by Jesus Christ himself, and then believers, and then unbelievers. Okay, we did God the Father last week. So let's just read through it very quickly so you can see. Jesus Christ is called the Son of God by God the Father himself. And therefore, Jesus Christ is deity is the point. If he's the Son of God, he is deity. And we saw it, one, point one there at his baptism, point two at the transfiguration, point three at the ascension and session of Jesus Christ, point four, God the Father bears witness that Jesus Christ is his Son in 1 John 5:9. Five, for the eye that will see, God calls Jesus Christ his Son in Psalm 2. And we read the entire psalm, or most of the psalm last week on that. And in 6, God the Father revealed Jesus Christ to Paul as his Son. Now that brings us to our second category. Second category, in the way I had it designed and anywhere else, it's just this is the way it, just the way I want to put it together to present to you. And we're going to start with supernatural creatures. My thinking being is we're going to start with God, deity, then we're going to supernatural creatures, and then we'll go to Christ himself. Kind of a descending order, if you please, of importance and in this whole battle. Because, people, as we're going to see, the deity of Jesus Christ is very important to supernatural creatures. The fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is extremely important in the spiritual warfare. It makes a great difference. Why is it important that Jesus Christ is God? It's very important in this battle right here, in the spiritual conflict. So, let's take a look, and you'll notice A, and I have elect angels. Those angels who followed after God. In other words, did not follow Satan, but followed God, takes us into the angelic conflict. A.S. is angelic conflict there. And then I've got two references there. And this will also save us a little time and having to open the scripture to the verses, because you have most of them right here that we want to look at. Okay, first of all, Angel Gabriel came to Mary in dealing with her pregnancy and announced that she would give birth to the Son of God in Luke 1:35. Now, I've written out for you, have that here, 1:35. And the angel, and in previous verse, it tells us that it's Gabriel. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Now that is by the presence of the Holy Spirit, God the Father. So this will often happen with the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit and God the Father. All right, will overshadow you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. So here is an angel involved in the spiritual warfare, recognizing that this man that is about to be born by this woman is the Son of God. Now, second reference of elect angels, the angel to the pastor teacher in Revelation 2:18, and to the angel of the church in Berea, or the pastor actually is there, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like brimstone, burnished bronze, says this. So he calls Jesus Christ the Son of God. So we have two references of elect angels. Now, fallen angels. This is rather interesting. We have a lot here. And here are people who reject God, do not want to be with God, but yet make an acknowledgement of this. Fallen angels. First of all, Satan, chief of the fallen angels, himself recognized that Jesus Christ is the Son of God at the temptation of Jesus Christ. I've given you the accounts, Matthew 4:3 and 6 and Luke 4:3 and 9, where Satan acknowledges that the person that he is speaking to is the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, and the question, first cut, yes, you are. You are the Son of God. So Satan himself recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God. I'll make it very clear, this doesn't save you. This doesn't save you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because angels believe that. But they do not put their faith for salvation in Jesus Christ. Alright, the second classification, I thought was rather interesting, is the fallen angels who followed Satan, demons. They recognize Jesus as the Son of God. They recognize his deity. Therefore, to be feared. and we're going to look at different occasions. Mark chapter 3, verse 11. And whenever the unclean spirits beheld him, these are demons, they would fall down before him and cry out, saying, "You are the Son of God." We know who you are. Just fall down. Suppose you have a dog. One of the most important things if you learn about a dog is when a dog, even if you walk up to a strange dog, you know, dog, and they fall down and roll over, they're letting you know they give up. It's not just a matter of petting. They want you to pet them and all. They're not going to. They just, it's sort of a give up type of expression from a dog. And this is what the angels do with him. He's the Son of God. You are the Son of God. It's just amazing. Now here we're talking about people who don't believe that he's the Son of God. Here are people who know that he's the Son of God, but aren't going to trust him. Because very powerful. The second one here, Luke 4:41. This one is related to the spiritual warfare. And demons also were coming out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Son of God," and rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. Ooh. Boy, if we had time on that one. Where does that come from? That comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which tells us, had they known that he was the Christ, they would not have crucified him. So here's some saying this, and he wouldn't let them speak it. He would not let them make this recount of who he, Jesus Christ, was. Shut them up from proclaiming this, and that's related to the spiritual warfare. All right, the third one. Demons recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he will one day judge them. I've given you three different things here. So let's note now the third one. They recognize Jesus as the Son of God and he will one day judge them. Matthew 8:29. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What do we have to do with you, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" That is, before the time of judgment. Leave us alone until the final judgment. Look at Mark, right here at Mark 5:7. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me. Leave me alone until the judgment." Luke 8:28. And seeing Jesus, he, this demon, cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." So here we have angels who recognize in the spiritual warfare that this man Jesus is the Son of God. Elect angels and fallen angels. Okay, we're taking a look now, and all I did down here on the bottom is what I did for myself, and I left it here for you. Down at the bottom of the page we're on, first the deity, so we looked at God the Father, then the supernatural, angels. Now let's go and deal with Jesus Christ himself. Let's deal with Jesus Christ himself, and therefore on the next page, big three, and that's our third section, Jesus Christ himself. First of all, in reference to Christ himself, is one we just noted. At the conception of Mary, angel Gabriel announced to Mary that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Luke 1:32 and 35, and I have here to read the whole deal, but we'll just continue with our momentum now. Because of the conception by the Holy Spirit, the one born to her is the eternal Son of the eternal God. He is God. So let's take a look now in Jesus Christ expressing himself as God, as the Son of God. Jesus Christ calls himself the Son of God, and I've given you the occasions. One, Jesus Christ's defense of his miracles at the accusation of the Jewish religious leaders. This is powerful. This is his defense. His defense is going to get him in trouble. It's going to get him in bigger trouble. So he's done miracles, he's performed miracles, and they come and accuse him, and he's going to use the defense, "I'm the Son of God," and that's going to bring him a greater charge against him. But let's take a look, and we'll read John 5:16-18. And for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, this is his defense, my Father, calls God the Father, his Father, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Now, this statement's clear. This statement is powerful. It's clear. It's powerful. The religious leaders got it. They understood what he was saying. And he was clearly saying that God was his Father, and they knew exactly what he said. Therefore, verse 18. What page are we on y'all? Is it the third or fourth? Sure. Where it is. There we go. Verse 18. For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Now, it was during the miracles they wanted to kill him at doing that. But his defense in doing the miracles was, I'm the Son of God, and God's doing his work in me. That just got him in hotter water. So they seek all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Blasphemy, blasphemy, blasphemy. That is to be punished by death. That kind of blasphemy, to call yourself God. So, Jesus Christ, in using this defense, people, if he's not the Son of God, in truth, in deed, he's a fool. He's crazy. Because it's going to get him into deeper trouble. And that's one of the old things that we used to use in dealing with the claims of Christ, is that he is either who he claims to be, or people, he's a pure madman. Not to even be regarded at all, just laughed at. Just like a man babbling on the street. I'm Napoleon. You know, that's what we would have to do with this man Jesus. Either he is, or he is a madman. One or the other. Okay, let's go on. Point the second occurrence in his teaching of who he is in reference to the gospel. John 5, 25-27. Truly, truly, I say to you, now, you'll notice in the same chapter, but it drops down a little bit, and he's doing some teaching. That's the only thing we don't do by doing it this way, is have your text open. But we drop down, talking to those religious crowd anymore. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And this is eternal life. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Now, Son of Man is very important here, along with the Son of God. But we're studying right now, I want you to know Jesus Christ as God. And the first thing we're looking at in knowing Jesus Christ as God is he is called the Son of God. And later we'll take a look at what does it mean, the Son of Man. I just want you to become so obsessed with the person of Christ, people. Because that thinking is how you and I are going to develop this personal, intimate relationship that so few Christians have. But it will also influence everything in your life. It will influence how you deal with others. It's a powerful parlay with what we're doing on Wednesday night. I didn't plan it, but I certainly see it. That's what God is doing in my life. In teaching. That's what we're seeing on Wednesday night will make difference now if we'll make it clear if we understand who Christ is. This is how you and I have to see every person we deal with. We have to see them in our relationship with Christ and their relationship with Christ, not their relationship with me. People, if you deal with people on the basis of their relationship with you, you're going to find yourself very judging, very emotional, very this, very that, separate, a lot of things. But if you see everyone on the basis of Christ, it changes the whole issue. Okay, the third one. In rebuking the religious crowd in John 10:36, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God. In other words, he's rebuking them and the charge of being blasphemous. And I told you who he was. That is an accusation of blasphemy if you call yourself God, make yourself equal to God, if indeed you're not. But he is. The fourth one, same page, in performing miracles. John 11:4. By the way, do you notice John's really heavy in this? Let's just see. Do you remember what the theme of Christ in the book of Matthew is about? What is the way Matthew looks at Christ primarily? I'm sorry? King. So you have a lot of that in Matthew. And Mark looked at Jesus Christ primarily as what? Servant. And Luke, now, Son of Man, his humanity, and John, his deity. And that's why you have a great deal of John at this point in dealing with this. Okay. The fourth one here is in performing miracles, John 11:4. But, and again, people, I know I'm just giving you one passage generally, and I give you some verses sometimes to keep a context, but these are not pulling anything out of context where if I went back, this isn't what's being said. All I want you to see is Christ claims that he is the Son of God. All right, in performing miracles, John 11:4. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Remember, this is when he came around a guy who was sick running. That the Son of God may be glorified by it, by that man's sickness. John 11:27. She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. This is what Jesus Christ is looking for. Okay, the fifth one. At his trial, remember the six trials of Christ, at his trial before Caiaphas the high priest. And I've given you all the passages so you know where to find it in Scripture. Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22. But we're going to look at Matthew 26, verse 62. And by the way, these are all in ASV. Now we have the high priest, and Jesus Christ is under the interrogation, and being interrogated by the Caiaphas, the high priest. I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now, what we have here is that, and I'll show you where he says, yes, I am. In fact, if you'd look at the next page, Luke 22:70, and they all said, are you the Son of God? Then, and he said to them, and this is the same statement in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke account, yes, I am. So Jesus Christ himself declares himself to be the Son of God, not like God. And I want you to understand, they understood what this meant. This meant that he made himself equal with God, makes himself God, and if he isn't, he's blasphemous. So this is the person of Jesus Christ. He calls himself the Son of God, not like God, not a servant of God, not son of God. He is God. He is the Son of God. Okay, just some thoughts now. What difference does this make that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? What difference does it make? Well, we're studying a lot of differences that it makes in your daily life, but here's one that I came up with in the study. Because Jesus Christ declares that only way we know God the Father is by the Son. People, let me just tell you, if he's not the Son of God, you and I do not know God the Father. I don't care how much you think you know about God the Father. If this man, Jesus, is not the Son of God, we do not know God the Father. Matthew 11:27 that I have for you. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him the Father. Now, it's just as simple. We do not know God the Father. What you know about God the Father, you might say, well, I learned it from doctrine. I learned it from the Bible. No, people, We learned it from the Son of God. We learned it from the Son of God. We don't like to say that. Oh, I learned it from doctrine. I learned it from the Bible. No, we learned it from the Son of God. Well, you just said no. I'm talking about a relationship. I'm talking about what difference does it make day in and day out. What I know about God the Father, the Son told me, because He is the Son of God. We don't know the Father, people, if Jesus is not His Son. It's that simple. Anything you and I know of truth about God, we know it from Jesus Christ. This is what's so interesting is the Gospels, by that I mean the books in the Bible, the Gospels, they're not a revelation of Jesus Christ. They reveal God the Father. They're not a revealing of Jesus Christ. They're revealing of God the Father. We learn about God the Father. All the cross is about God the Father. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we study the Gospels, we're studying God the Father. This is why it's important, people, if we're going to study the Gospels, that we understand He's the Son of God. We're learning about God. Now, there's another book written called the Book of Revelation. And the Book of Revelation is where God the Father is going to reveal to us His Son. He's going to reveal to us Jesus Christ to us, who and what Jesus Christ is. The first advent, Jesus Christ reveals the Father. But in the book of the Revelation, God the Father is going to tell us about His Son. I want to tell you about the glory of my Son. I want to tell you about the principle of replacement. I want to tell you, and you study various chapters in Revelation, I want to tell you He's going to replace the great priest of the prehistoric time. And that priest was Lucifer. And Lucifer rebelled, and he's going to be replaced. And I want to reveal to you who's going to replace him in the future universe, and that's my Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to reveal all His glory to you. I'll reveal it to you. This is why there's a blessing related to Revelation and understanding Revelation, because there's always a blessing in related to knowing Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing right now. I want you to know Jesus Christ. But what we're seeing right now is, what difference does it make that He is God? If He's not God, if He's not the Son of God, then I don't know God the Father. It's that simple. And if I want to know about God the Father, then I have to go to Jesus Christ and I can learn about God the Father. So He can communicate to us God, because He is God, because He is the Son of God. He can communicate God to us. Jesus Christ had first-hand knowledge. He's the Son of God. So He can reveal to us who and what God is. Reveal all the mystery of God. He can reveal to us these things. Any knowledge of God the Father, and reading from your seat, any knowledge of God the Father that we're going to know is going to be by God the Son, by the Son of God. So if He's not the Son of God, we cannot know God. We do not have information about God. But because Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we now have information about God. And a lot of people that deny the sonship of Jesus Christ are fouled up in the gospel. They're fouled up on how to be saved. They're fouled up in about eternity. All of those things that relate to God. When you start fouling up your understanding of Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is, and starting with His deity, if you reject that part, people, you see, you're starting off fouling up everything that is related to that. You have no understanding of God. And you're going to foul up on what you proclaim about God, what you proclaim about salvation, what you proclaim about eternity, heaven, all these things. If we start with understanding that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and reveals the Father to us, then we can get clearly the relationship of 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just, He have already cleansed and forgiven, related to Jesus Christ is our advocate. The relationship of both of those in dealing with a born-again believer who sins. But what we want to do is, we don't want to relate with God the Father, we don't want to relate with God the Son, we want to relate with that believer who has sinned. That's wrong. And even with ourselves, we want to relate with the sin. Can't do it. If we truly know Him, we're truly going to know how God the Father, what He's done about all sin. Not just in theology, but in practice. For people, it makes a very big difference. A very big difference in our daily life as to whether or not Jesus Christ is God, the fact that He is God. So to know the Father, as Jesus Christ knows the Father, is why you and I are going to be able to love, spiritual love, which is the great declaration, God is love, and we are to love as Christ loved us. So it becomes very issue in the whole issue of loving as Christ loved. Okay, the next one, we study deity in dealing with the sonship of Christ, supernatural creatures, angels, and Jesus Christ Himself. Now the fourth one, we're going to take a look at born-again believers. Now, because I've given you a handout, don't not come next Tuesday night. I need you. So I hate doing this kind of thing. Just kind of, it's you one page at a time. And I want the next page, I guess I'll be there. But let's close in a word of prayer. Father, first of all, Father, how grateful we are that You have revealed to us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Because our Savior says we could not know this if You had not revealed it to us. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that Your Spirit will not only reveal these truths as to who Jesus Christ is and the Son of God, deity, but will make these things so pertinent in our daily lives. Let us build and build on the importance of knowing Him as God, the impact it makes in our marriage, in our single life, in our work, where we live, what we do, every aspect of our being, that He is Your Son, that He is God. We praise You, Heavenly Father, in Your Son's precious name. Amen.